Hello there, everybody. Welcome to the No Look Pass. I am Brett Shishkoff, and across from me is Mr. Brian Hawkins.
Hello, everyone.
How are you doing today there, Brian?
So far, so good.
Yeah?
Not bad. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty well.
Excellent.
I am looking forward to today's show and getting into our sports conversation.
Yeah.
Anything that you want to talk about before we get into our Chicago teams? Anything that's popping out to you?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Before we get into the Chicago teams, well, football is about to start.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few injuries, unfortunate injuries.
A big one yesterday.
Yeah, starting with Bridgewater in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. People thought that he was ready to take the Vikings to the lead in their division. And perhaps that was true, but now that's not going to happen. It wasn't during any of the action. Do you know what happened? How he hurt himself?
From what I've been able to gather is it was a non-contact injury that he was basically going back to do a throw, and all of a sudden he fell on the ground. So he tore his ACL. And then I think he broke a bone as well. And so it looks like he'll be out for the entire season. But I guess a few players who have had this similar injury normally do come back. And he is a younger guy, so he should be able to come back from it and be okay. It does change things quite a bit, I think, for the NFC North. I think it might, because I still felt like it was going to be a Packers-Minnesota. One was going to be a division. One was going to be a wild card. Now I think it opens up a possible spot for either the Lions or Bears to kind of sneak in there somehow. We shall see how the season pans out. And there's always teams that went from, the bottom part of the NFL, and then all of a sudden they're a playoff team. So that's kind of the nice thing about the football, is that you really don't know what's going to end up being the playoff picture, just because there's so many teams that are there one year and then the next year a few new teams sneak in there. What else did you see?
Well, there was another injury. Tony Romo broke a bone in his back after being what looked like a pretty routine tackle. I forget the player's name who tackled him as he scrambled out of the pocket, and the player kind of swiped at the football, and
Romo was going down for a slide.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he swiped at the football, and I don't remember. And he hit Romo, and Romo broke a bone in his back.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it's a very weird injury because it has a timeline to recover between 4 to 10 weeks. But most people are thinking that it's going to be more of the later part of the season, 10 weeks. So we're probably middle of the season. They're thinking after the week seven bye that there's probably a good chance that he could be making it back for game 8 for them, or their 7th game, because bye week is on the 7th week of the season. So they'll still possibly have him for the second half of the season. Me being a Cowboys fan, it's not good to lose your starter, but the rookie Dak Prescott has looked pretty decent in preseason, but it's preseason. So, my biggest takeaway from it was seeing him play against the Seahawks defense. He actually did okay. He was pressured a lot and was able to get around. So I think the Cowboys could possibly go 500. And if they do that with a rookie quarterback, third rounder, I think that's a good place to be, especially in that division, because I don't really think too many of the teams have improved in the NFC East. So I think if you're 9-7 team, you possibly could make it. Like last year with the Redskins, they were, I believe, a 9-7 team and won the division. Ugly division it was last year after Romo was out and Dez Bryant were out for the Cowboys.
I'm a big Tony Romo fan, but mm-hmm. I got to say, I don't know, it was his second or third time he's had an injury with his back in the same area. And it gets to a point where you have to think about quality of life. You have to think about, you know, he's a family man. He's got a wife and children. So I don't know. Maybe it's time for him to reassess. But whatever he decides to do, hopefully it'll be the best thing for him.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that kind of think that there is a possibility that he decides to, that's it. Knowing Romo and how competitive he is, I think he still felt that this team had a possibility of doing a good long playoff run like they did a couple years ago with DeMarco Murray. Now that they have Ezekiel Elliott, the rookie, I think he felt that they had a good chance of possibly getting to a Super Bowl with the team that they had. So we'll see. You never listen to Jerry Jones because Jerry Jones said that he was going to be fine, and then the day later is basically when they found out he was going to be out for 4 to 10 weeks. So, other than that, I think we'll just get into the Chicago teams. Well, since we've been talking about football, let's just get straight into the Bears. What'd you think of this week 3 dress rehearsal against the Chiefs there, Brian?
Well, you know, I think I remember reading a few weeks back the Bears didn't even game plan for one of their preseason games. So if they're still doing that, it's kind of understandable why they might look sort of discombobulated on the offensive side. And I think to a certain extent they might be playing what some of the older generation might remember as this colloquial saying, playing possum. You know, I think they are 0-3, but mm-hmm. so are the Arizona Cardinals.
Right.
And so are the Cleveland Browns. So, as you said before, preseason doesn't mean anything.
Yep.
And so I think...
John Fox is not trying to show his hand, is
right.
what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm. And I think he probably... You know, his name is Fox. So he the Bears probably aren't as bad as they've shown. So we'll you know, we'll have to tune in that first game against Houston. Now, Houston, I saw them this past weekend, and they looked ready. They looked like a team that was ready to get their season going. But you see, teams like Houston and other teams, they have expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And teams like Jacksonville, they also looked like they had their offensive act together. So, you know, teams are looking at them and they're thinking, well, you know, this team, they're supposed to be improving. They've had all these draft picks like Jacksonville. They've gotten a young quarterback. It's been 2-3 seasons now. They should mm-hmm. be showing something.
Yep.
Whereas that's not really the case with the Bears. So, I don't know. Hopefully... you know, we'll be surprised when they have their game.
Some of my concern about Saturday's game was they were playing, the Kansas City Chiefs didn't have all of their guys on defense, and the Bears couldn't even make it past the 50-yard line until the second half, and the quarterback, I'm drawing a blank on the kid that just, he ended up breaking his ankle.
Connor for the Bears?
Yep. Yeah, Connor Shaw, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. He ended up, was the bright spot in the game, and then he ended up getting hurt, and he seemed to be the one kind of getting the team moving, getting pumped up, and that type of thing. And so with Cutler in there, and the and I think it was Hoyer came in after him, there was nothing. And so that was concerning. I think that the positives are they now have Eddie Royal back, and they have Zach Miller back, so that's two extra weapons that they did not have on Saturday that could help to kind of open up some lanes maybe for Alshon and Kevin White. But Kevin White has kind of been underperforming, and I feel like with him being out last year, maybe because he was with the team, I thought that he could have at least been able to do some studying and being able to study tape and know where he should be. And right now, he's definitely playing it as a rookie. And so we'll see as the season starts going, if he starts to get his legs back underneath him and starts to understand the pace of the game a little bit better. But right now, he's kind of been underperforming, and Alshon is definitely, he's the number one guy. And if the Bears, I don't know what they plan on doing after this season, if they're going to try and sign him or what, but at the moment, I think you have to. There's not too many other pieces on that offense that you feel comfortable with as being that consistent guy. The only downside to Jeffries is basically him and his injury, like him having injuries the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But so with Royal and Miller.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what happens. Hopefully the Bears can show a lot better than they have. It's going to be tough against Houston. Houston looked pretty impressive with their first team offense and also defense, and the game is in Houston. So they better come out with their game face on.
Yeah, the one thing that I was able to notice is that they actually, Houston could be able to have J.J. Watt back by the time the first game starts. So that is something that can't be good for Cutler, having him coming after you. That he was possibly going to be out for that game, but I guess he's healing faster than what they expected. So there is a possibility that Jay Cutler will have a face-to-face matchup many, many times with Mr. Watt coming at him, because he is probably the most dominant defensive player on at least a defensive line, at least in my opinion. But yeah, I am excited to get past the preseason. I've been excited that we've been having some type of football. But yeah, preseason to me is getting... I just think it's a little too long. I think they can probably cut it down to 2 weeks. And I actually was surprised, because a lot of the coaches that I noticed from the teams that I was able to watch actually took their guys out after, like, they basically didn't even go in the third quarter, a lot of the teams, where in the past, the third game, they would actually have their guys come in after halftime and go all the way through the third quarter. And there were a lot of coaches that they basically had their guys either go in just the first quarter or second quarter, almost like it was just a second game of preseason. And I think it's really just coming down to you're seeing all these guys going down the last few years in preseason, and so the coaches are just, oh, why risk it? So
yeah, why is that? I mean, these are supposed to be some of the best-trained athletes in the world, but yet it seems like early in the preseason there's lots of injuries. And you know, getting hurt and not even being hit, like mm-hmm. in the case of Bridgewater.
Yep.
What's causing it? Doesn't seem to me. I don't know for sure. I don't know any. I don't have any statistics. Doesn't seem to me that years ago this wasn't the case. You didn't have as many injuries.
I think a lot of it has to do with the guys are getting bigger and faster and stronger, and so our bodies are only meant to handle a certain amount of weight and torque, and so I think it has a little bit to do with that, but it also has something to do with a podcast that I actually listened to that Brady Quinn was on. He actually explained that each year the cleats and shoes that they were wearing in football kept getting thinner, and like just so they could go faster and faster and be able to take off even these few ounces off of their shoes, they felt like it would make them just that bit more faster. And what's causing you to see is they're not having that same support that they used to have in their feet. And when you're not having the support in your feet, it, you know, it affects your back, it affects your knees, it affects your ankles. And so now you're starting to see, and when he said that, I was like, actually, that kind of makes sense. I know he's not a doctor, but as a football player, he said it. It made you feel uncomfortable because you could almost feel the cleats almost coming into your feet. That's how thin it was. And so when you're running on that, that can't be comfortable, and you're stepping different. And so if you're compensating a certain way because you're not comfortable in your steps, then you're, you know, messing with other muscles and your ligaments the way that they're not meant to actually be used in the way you run, you would run normally on a regular pair of shoes. So I think there's a combination of a lot of different things, but those would be the two main ones. It's just guys are getting so much bigger and they're training so much harder throughout the year that they're not giving their bodies times to rest as long as they should. And so when your body's not able to get that rest in, I think it has a tendency to wear down faster.
Yeah, well, they need to stop it. But I don't think the owners are going to risk cutting the preseason, missing all that revenue.
Yeah, I agree. The revenue is going to be the big key, but the players definitely do not want and the coaches don't want it to be any longer than 2 weeks. They would rather just do 2 week preseason and then just get into the season, which I'd be totally fine with that. If they got rid of what they could do, and what they've talked about is get rid of two preseason games and then add two more games for the season, which is basically you're just coming back to the same thing. You're playing two extra games that they don't really want to play. So that's more of the owner side of it that wanted the two extra regular season games, because regular season games, you would still get more revenue than a preseason game. So who knows? It's really, really difficult to kind of determine which way it's going to go, but I kind of agree with the players and the coaches of might as well just cut out two of those games, because most of the time, two of those games, the starters don't really even play. They play like a quarter in the first game. No, they play only like two series in the first game, and then in the last game, they don't even play. So those two games mean nothing to any of the guys who are going to start. And then you can use the just two games to look at mainly your rookies and guys who are coming in trying to make the team. Other than that, I can't think of anything else on the Bears that I'd want to cover. It was good to see that Langford was fine from his foot injury. I guess he ended up just getting his foot stepped on last week when he was walking in a boot. It was just because he got his foot stepped on. He didn't hurt anything else other than that. So That was good to see that he was fine. I think we will move on to the Bulls, and I think we'll hit the Blackhawks just because I think those will be pretty quick. I didn't really hear too much other than the rumor I told you again. I seem to be the rumor guy the last few weeks with
another trade.
The trade, and this one's a bigger one, but it would basically be Butler going to the Kings and with Robin Lopez and McDermott going for Cousins. Rudy Gay would be coming to the Bulls. So I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's just, people are hearing these whispers because the Kings are trying to figure out a way to get rid of both of those players, because they want to kind of just move on and wash their hands of both of these players, I think. And specifically, Cousins has been vocal about not being happy with the Kings and what they do. And so, other than that, I don't think that the Bulls are really going to be willing to give up Butler. I think that's a piece that the Bulls really have kind of made, that they would like to build their team around him. It's just his attitude of if he wants to even be on a Hoiberg-run team. He seems to kind of sometimes want to be there and other times not really all that interested. Other than that, I can't really think of anything else Bulls-related. I know Butler and Rose were at a Dodgers game over the weekend. Apparently...
Are they still working out together?
I guess so. And the rift that everybody said that they didn't like each other. If they're hanging out at a ball game, obviously there has to be some type of, friendship or something like that. That's not just something that they just do on their own if they just disliked each other. And they have nothing to do with each other other than being in the NBA. So, other than that, I think, unless you have anything you want to add about the Bulls or that possible trade, I can move on.
No, I personally wouldn't like that trade.
Yeah, okay. Blackhawks. What are you thinking about the Blackhawks? Anything been in your mind as of the last couple weeks? I think we got a training camp starting up.
Just waiting for training camp.
3 weeks. So, yeah, they're just gearing up for the season. Nothing too big that I've heard within the last couple weeks. It's kind of quiet. So we'll just move on to the baseball then, if you're okay with that.
Okay.
All right, we'll start with the Sox. They did pretty good the last week on their homestand. They had a 9-game homestand, and I think they were 7-2. They only lost 2 games out of the 9, which was pretty good. One of them was against Felix Hernandez, which is a good pitcher. It's one that but Sale was going, so you were hoping Sale would have been able to hold his own. But, not too much you can do about that. But now they're playing the Tigers, and it's in their division, and once again they're struggling. They've lost the last 2 games against the Tigers. So It's the name of the game for the Sox. There's not too much you can say other than if you can't win in your division, you're not gonna win your division. It's very, very difficult because that's where the majority of your games are played, is within your division. So, I don't really know what else to say about the Sox other than they seem to be still trying to do something, even though maybe they should be looking to the offseason and figuring out what pieces they want to keep and what pieces do they want to get rid of. Is it time to rebuild completely? And what do you do with Robin Ventura at the end? And do you keep Kenny Williams or do you move on from him as well? I think this could be a season where you see a big turnover for the Sox, which would be interesting. I think the only big news that I've heard is U.S. Cellular Field will no longer be U.S. Cellular Field. It will be known as Guaranteed Rates Park, maybe. That's who bought them, is Guaranteed Rate. So some people are up in arms about them changing the name, but if you're like my dad, he still is. It's Comiskey to him, and it'll always be Comiskey Park to him. So what do you think about the change of the name and whatnot? Does it affect you thinking any differently about the Sox?
No, there are some other names. They don't come to mind now, but there are other names that are just as outlandish of ballparks. Mm-hmm. So it's what they need to do. The thing that maybe we should think about is whether or not this will make it less expensive to taxpayers in order to maintain that facility, because it is partly public owned.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, then so be it. We just have to figure out what we're going to call it. It's going to be the Great. It's going to be the Rate. It's going to be the Big G, or just call it Sox Park, or just not even mention it at all.
My mom said that it should be a Guaranteed Win Park or something like that.
Yeah. If they can guarantee victories, then that would be great. Another guaranteed victory. But,
yep.
I understand how people feel, but at the end of the day, what are you going to do? It's a reality in baseball now. I was shocked to find out, I think there are only 19 teams that have sold the rights to the name of their facility.
I thought it's more than that.
I thought, yeah.
Yeah.
But you think about it, Wrigley Field, no. Fenway Park, no. Other places, so.
Camden Yards, right?
Right.
Still one?
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I don't know what to say about that. And what do you say about the White Sox? Gee. I don't know. I think this might be the last year for Robin.
I think so.
Not because he necessarily is responsible completely, but they've got to do something to sort of, placate the fans.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he might be the sacrificial lamb. Or maybe some of those other guys. I don't know.
Yeah. Last year they just fired a bench coach. That's all they did last year, which it's like, okay.
Parent. Yeah.
Why would you hire him, or why would you fire him when he probably, responsibility-wise of the team going far, is probably at the bottom of the list of the coaching staff? So, I don't know. It should be interesting to see if it ends up being one of those seasons where it's literally just they clean house and try and see what they can come up with. And trying to trade those pieces away and getting some young prospects and just rebuilding all over again. If Kenny Williams is there, that's not his MO. He always wants to just put together pieces here and there and figure out if maybe he could put together a team. And other than that World Series year, it really hasn't worked since then all that much. They haven't made the playoffs in a while. And it's looked ugly for most of those seasons. So I'm glad that there is another team in baseball for Chicago just to be able to pay attention to, because it's always nice to have a playoff team from your city to pay attention to. The Cubs, they had a little bit of a rough patch going to LA and playing the Dodgers. I don't think they did very well. I think maybe they split or they lost the series. I can't remember.
I think they lost the series.
Okay. So I don't know if it's because of that bullpen, you know, the injuries in the bullpen, or if there were other reasons for that, but they've been playing the Pirates, and so far I believe they've won both games against the Pirates. So, you know, they're back home and doing okay.
Well, with that in mind, you know, let's face it, the Cubs with a win record, they have 84 wins and 47 losses. And I'm not really sure. So if I could do the quick math, that's 11, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So what is that, 121 games or something like that?
That's how long the season. Yeah, yeah, that's how far they are about that, yeah.
So they got about 40 games or so left. Well, it's still kind of early. They still could lose it. But who do you think might give them more of a problem in the playoffs? Would it be Washington or the Dodgers or one of the contending wild card teams, which would be San Francisco? And even St. Louis could squeak in there. It's not too late for the Mets, Pittsburgh, or even Miami.
Yeah, I think it's really... you've seen with the Cubs this year that the teams that they seem to struggle with are the teams with the better pitching. So I still think that the Giants, they have one of the better pitching staffs in the National League. If you do see the Mets sneak in there, they did really, really well so far this year against against the Cubs. That could be a very scary team for the Cubs to go up against. I haven't really watched too much of the Nationals, so I don't really know what their pitching staff is like. That's my main thing, is it depends on the teams that they play. If they play teams that have pretty decent pitching, Dodgers without is I don't think Kershaw's back.
No, not yet.
So without him, they don't scare me as much. But yeah, it's definitely for me. It would probably be if the Mets squeak in there, and then. San Francisco, those would be the two teams I'd be worried about for the Cubs going up against that they've seemed to struggle against a bit. Cardinals, they did that one series. They ended up earlier before the All-Star break. They got swept by the Cardinals, so they could also be a team that is never great to play in the playoffs just because they've been there for so many years and they were always at the top of the division. They know how to win, so you never know. That's a team that seems to always find a way in the playoffs and can sneak up and bite you. So it those would maybe be the three teams that I'd be concerned about.
Yeah, well, it just goes to show you, folks, you can't take anything for granted. Even though they're playing well now, who knows what'll happen when the playoffs actually get started.
Yeah. The Nationals themselves, the main reason why I'm not too concerned is they're a one series and out in the playoffs. That's what they've basically done the last 3 years. They haven't got past the first round. So for some, they're pretty much the Cincinnati Bengals of baseball. They don't seem to know how to get off that snide of getting in the playoffs, but being able to win that first series, it seems to be their bugaboo. Other than that, what is the injuries looking like for the Cubs? Are some of those guys going to be coming back anytime soon? Have you heard anything about that?
Well, which players are you referring to?
I know you said, what was it, Joe Smith from the Angels who came over. He was injured. And then wasn't there one or two other guys from the bullpen that were hurt last week when we talked last?
Well, reliever Strope, they said that he would be out about 4 to 6 weeks after he had arthroscopic knee surgery.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But he said himself he expects to beat that projection by a few days and rejoin the team early next week.
Okay.
When they are in Milwaukee. So.
Well, there you go. I don't know if I would want to rush him back if they're doing okay without him. Give him an extra week or two to kind of get his legs back underneath him. I don't think he needs to feel like he has to rush back. I think the Cubs are doing relatively okay enough without him, and they have a little bit of a cushion. And, you know, they are playing for the home field advantage throughout the playoff run. So that is something that they have to be concerned about. But you might as well rest a guy who's coming back from some that type of injury. You don't want to just re-injure it and have it inflame, because that's sometimes what happens with a lot of different players from any sport, is that they'll rush themselves back and then it flares up on them again and then they're out for even longer. So I wouldn't rush him back. I think that bullpen is going to – you want that depth, especially going into a playoff run. You never know when you're going to need it and be able – and fall back on that. And so we'll see. Hopefully those guys can get right in the right amount of time. You know, we're coming down to – yeah, it's the start of the last month of the season. So We'll see what happens. This is crunch time, and sometimes the pressure can get to a team. But the Cubs seem to be holding their own pretty well for the most part.
Yeah, and John Lackey, he's going to throw another bullpen session tomorrow, which is Thursday.
Okay.
And then after that, he's expected to be activated from the disabled list. And they think that he'll be able to start Sunday's finale of a four-game series against San Francisco. So you'll have a chance to see right away the Cubs and how they handle that San Francisco pitching.
Yep. I'll be paying attention to that one. I always like good pitching matchups, and I always feel like the Giants and, you know, if you have a Arrieta or Lester game in there against one of their aces, you know, Baumgartner or whatever, that'll be fun. I enjoy those matchups. You know, it's not great to watch them every single game, but every now and then to see a good pitching matchup where it's 1-0, 2-1, and just great pitching, I like those types of games sometimes.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you'd like to add before we put this episode of the No Look Pass in the bag?
Well, since we were talking about baseball,
yeah,
there is one story that has a little bit of life.
Okay.
And that is the Tim Tebow story, trying out for, I think it was 50 scouts.
Uh-huh.
And by all accounts, he did okay. He didn't light the world on fire.
Yep.
But he did hit, I think, about 8 home runs.
Oh, wow.
And you know, for his batting session.
Uh-huh.
And he was being pitched to by a former major leaguer, what's that guy, Chad Smith.
Okay.
And Chad threw him about 20 pitches of live batting practice.
Mm-hmm.
And the pitches topped out about 92 miles per hour on radar guns. So Tebow put 4 balls into play, line drive to center, and they think that would have been a hit, a sure hit.
Uh-huh.
He also lined 2 balls to shortstop and grounded to second base. And one scout thought Tebow displayed good bat speed.
Okay.
And then he ran about, in the 60-yard dash, he ran about a 6.65 to 6.82.
Huh.
So, and they said his arm is average.
Which is understandable, because it was, I guess, average in football.
Right.
Yeah.
There's some strength there.
Yep.
He caught every catchable ball. He chased down flies in and out of play. One scout graded him a 50 defender when he played center field.
Out of 50? Is it like a scale of 50?
I don't know what that means, but...
Okay.
He said he's a playable, serviceable defender. And okay. He had 3 uniform changes. Why he did change his uniform, I don't know. But anyway, there you have it. And Tebow hasn't played baseball since 2004, his junior year in high school. And so we'll see what happens. Do you think anybody will sign him to at least a minor league contract?
I think someone will probably give him a shot. I think that there are some bad teams in baseball that might want just the possible upside of an athlete like Tebow, because he's a very athletic guy. You never know what a team needs, and so there is a small possibility. He was interviewed yesterday. I think I saw it on NFL Network that they were kind of talking to him and asking him, like, why baseball? Like, why wouldn't you just decide to stay in football? And just all the teams were interested in switching him to another position. And he said, it wasn't that I was against switching to another position. He's like, a lot of great players have done that. He goes, it was more of me feeling like I needed to pursue something different that, you know, I enjoyed doing when I was younger, and I wanted to re-pursue that again. And it's more of just the enjoyment of being able to play a sport that I haven't played in a long time. And I'm just moving on from football because, you know, I loved playing quarterback and I enjoyed doing that. But I think I'm closing that chapter of my life, and I want to move on to a new chapter and see how that goes. And so when I heard that and him in the way he presented it, I was like, okay, I can understand that. You loved baseball when you chose football instead, but you still love baseball. There's a lot of players that have done that. Michael Jordan was one of them. He loved baseball, wanted to go back. It wasn't very successful for him. But when you love something, you want to go after it. And so it's a great, I think it's a good story for people who, you know, young kids who are looking for something to inspire them to go after something that maybe other people are telling you shouldn't go and do that. He's a person where, even though everybody's pretty much telling him it's a mistake, to still go and try and do it, that's admirable in my book. I think you might as well at least give it a shot, and at least you tried, and you don't have to look back on your life and say, you know, what if, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, those type of things. So I think he's just making it so he doesn't have any regrets later on in life.
Yeah, and one scout had a very interesting comment, and he requested that his name not be associated with the comment. But you see, when he had batting practice, he had he had the machine throw balls to him. Mm-hmm. And when the machine threw balls, he was very, very impressive. And then, of course, he had the pitcher throw 20 live pitches, and he was somewhat less impressive. But the one scout requesting anonymity for competitive reasons told the USA Today that when he was hitting against the pitching machine, that was big power. He was mishitting the ball out of the park. So what does that mean, mishitting the ball out of the park?
Yeah, that I've never heard of that before. If you have to hit it really well to be able to get it out of the park. So
mishitting it, I'll have to think about that one.
Yeah, that's something I've never heard a scout say that before. Maybe it's a specific lingo that scouts use with each other, but I've never heard that personally of any announcer, or coach, or anything use those specific terms. So I'm not entirely sure what that means.
And just as I say that, something comes to mind. It could be that he was hitting the ball with so much power that he wasn't hitting it squarely, but hitting it with so much power that he was still hitting it out of the park.
Okay.
He's not hitting it correctly, maybe not with the right
mechanics.
Mm-hmm. But still, with his power, he's hitting it out of the park.
Yeah. Yeah, so. It's interesting. It definitely is a story to pay attention to and see if anything comes to it for next year. I don't think there's not going to be much of it for this year, but I think that's what he's trying to do, is to train for next year. And
right.
Well, would he be part of the draft that they have, or would he just be a guy who comes and tries out for a team?
Yeah, I guess he would. He could register for the draft.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think he's setting himself up for another disappointment. I mean, baseball is a very difficult sport.
Yeah.
He's 29 years old, and they don't really say what position he would play. I guess outfield, but
right.
I don't know. You know, it depends on what team he goes to.
Right. Yeah, I could see, let's see, you know, possible Braves team, you know, teams that are struggling, that are doing not great. I can see those teams maybe giving him a shot. Who else is not doing all that? Padres could be in another team. But, yeah, it would just – I think if a team gives him a shot for a minor league situation, it could just be the upside, and then also, oh, well, we could maybe get some people to go and watch some of these minor league games. We can make money that way. I still think that there's going to be someone out there that sees him as a chip that they can use to sell some tickets. So, I don't know. Only time will tell.
All right.
Well, Brian, it's been fun, as usual. I look forward to doing another show with you next week.
Yes.
Hopefully there'll be some more fun. I will be finished with my fantasy football draft, so maybe I'll touch on that a little bit of how that goes. But yeah, it's fantasy football season. It's football season is starting in, next week, Thursday, which is really exciting to think that we're going to have real football soon. I am Brett Shishkoff.
And Brian Hawkins.
And this is the No Look Pass. We will speak with you all next week.